John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Tonight I want to talk to us about three levels of bearing fruit. Three levels of bearing fruit. Would you pray and ask God to talk to us? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your word and your promises. I thank you, Lord, for what we feel in this house and how you're moving. I pray that your will be done in our lives, Lord. I pray that you would challenge us and correct us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. Help us, God. Lord, let us catch hold of this with everything inside of us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to sell out completely to your will and to your purpose, Lord, that we can bear fruit, that we can do your work, Lord, that we can do everything you've called us to do. We give you the praise and the glory for it right now. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There should be certain verses in the Bible that really hit home in our lives. And it may be different verses for different people, but if we read the Word of God and we are never moved, challenged, convicted, sometimes even downright disturbed by what it says and what it means for our life, then something's missing. There ought to be times that we are moved by certain passages of Scripture. And incidentally, we are reading through the Bible together in 2025. If you forgot about that, you still have time to catch up, okay? So get your Bible app and do a Bible in a Year plan, or there are bread reading programs at the Welcome Center in the foyer. But we need to be reading the Word of God, and at times there'll be certain Scriptures that it's just like they just leap off the page at us, and it hits us, and we're like, ooh, wow. I wonder sometimes at those who are never moved at the preaching of God's word. I've seen people sit there with no emotion, determined not to be changed or not to feel conviction and to never shed a tear. They want to remain in complete control over their life, and they're just resolved to not let the word of God deal with their heart. Many times people will go for years in this condition and letting walls be built up and fortified in their heart against the move of God until they're just absolutely insensitive to the moving of God's presence. It's a dangerous thing, because even if someday then they decide that they want to be saved, they've built so much up in between them and the Lord that it's not easily removed and fixed. And I pray tonight that we are moved by the Word of God, that the preaching of God's Word, it produces change in our lives. I pray that God moves upon us and helps us to be more like Him, and that we would let His Spirit work freely in our lives so that that we find a place of repentance if need be as the Word works on us and we say, God, I want you to have your way in my life. Don't let me leave here the same way I came, Lord, but let your Word work on me. Let your Spirit guide me, Lord. God, I realize I need change and I can't do it myself, but if your Word can get a hold of me, Lord, if the preaching of the Word can minister to me right where I'm at, Lord, I believe that you can do anything and change me, make me more like you, Lord. So when I leave here tonight, Lord, there's been something that's produced in me that's from the Word of God. In the text that we read tonight, we find some of these verses that they can really hit hard if we're sensitive to the presence of God. And what we read deals with a great responsibility that no true Christian can ignore. Jesus said in John 15:1, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Then in verse 6, it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We can read and reread these verses, and there's no way to escape what God means here. What a great and terrible responsibility is placed on every single one of us, and what a solemn and frightful warning we see here from God that every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What is our purpose in life? What are we doing here on this earth? If we are alive and kicking, if we're still breathing air, then what in the world are we doing? Have we thought about that lately? More than just waking up every morning and then going to bed at night. What is the reason for our existence? There's more to it than just living and dying, working and collecting a paycheck and paying the bills and going about our schedule every day and every week and year after year. What is the purpose of it all? Why are we here? Why are we living? What is the purpose of our life? We see here in these scriptures there's one purpose that every one of us is called to do, bearing fruit. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, you're called to bear fruit. You're called to produce fruit. And if we're not bearing fruit, if we're not producing anything, we are not fulfilling our calling. Now Jesus said, every branch that beareth not fruit is taken away. If we're not fulfilling our purpose, then what are we doing here? Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. But that doesn't excuse us from our calling, which is to bear fruit. Somebody needs to look in the mirror along with your pastor tonight and you just say, are we bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? Are you fulfilling your purpose? Can I do better? If so, then what are we waiting for? Let's do our job to produce the fruit that God has called us to do. Let's do our job to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to answer your calling. I'm going to answer your will. I'm going to do your purpose. I'm not just going to live and die and pass from this life, but I want to have some fruit. Hallelujah. Everybody say with me, fruit is not optional. Fruit is not optional. God watches over his vine and the branches and all of those branches connected to it. He watches over them with great care, and he patiently waits for each branch to bring forth fruit. He stands there, the pruning knife in hand, and he's lovingly looking for, is there any evidence of corruption or disease? Is there anything that could hinder growth? Is there anything that could cause harm to maybe other growth? And God expects fruit from every branch. Without fruit, it's impossible to honor and glorify God. John 15 and 8 that we read tonight says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." How can we be a true disciple of Jesus Christ if we're not doing what he commanded us to do? Bear fruit. So bearing fruit has everything to do with our pleasing God. And without fulfilling the mission that Jesus Christ has called us to do, we are in danger of not pleasing the Lord. Later on in John chapter 15, verse 16, it reads, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." We didn't choose him. He chose us. He appointed us. He selected us to go and to produce fruit that remains. That's lasting fruit. And then Jesus says this, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Jesus said there's a connection between bearing fruit and answered prayer. I've never really looked at it like this before, but we need to know today, God pays attention to those who are producing. God pays attention to those who are fulfilling their calling. God pays attention to those that are putting his kingdom first in their life, those who have answered his call and they're busy about the master's business. When we are doing that, when we're bearing fruit, there's an answer to our prayers that goes along with that. If we've been wondering, why aren't my prayers being answered? Maybe there's more to it. Maybe we need to look again and we need to start inspecting, how much fruit am I producing? And if we get to looking at our life and taking account and there's not any fruit, well, something better change, and it better change quick. Not only do we not want our branch to be cut off and thrown in the fire, but I want to have my prayers answered. I want God to hear my prayers. When I go to prayer, I want the Lord to say, "Hey, he's about to pray. Let's see what he's asking for, because I'm ready to do it, because he's producing fruit, and I'm going to answer his prayers." I feel like this is a key for somebody in this next year, that God is wanting to take you to a level of prayer that you have never been before, and God's wanting you to start seeing some miraculous things come to pass. But this could be a key that's going to take you to that next level, because God's called you to do some things, to produce some fruit in the kingdom, and maybe you've not really answered that call or stepped into that purpose yet, but this is the year. Something's about to change, and something is about to break loose, and somebody's about to catch hold of this to say, "This is my purpose. This is what I'm called to do. I wasn't called to just build a business. I wasn't called to just go to school, but I was called to do a work for the kingdom of God, and I'm going to embrace this with everything that I have." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Fruit is not optional. Now that may sound harsh, that may sound unloving, but the truth is, from the Word of God, we've got to bear fruit or be cast into the fire. We've got to bear fruit or be cut off from the vine. We've got to bear fruit or be taken away to wither and die. From time to time, as a pastor, I will notice those who they're withdrawing, I guess, is the best way to put it. And here's usually the progression. They withdraw from prayer. They don't pray like they once did. They withdraw from worship. They used to be such a worshiper, but now it's like they're bored in church. They withdraw from the altar. Who knows how long it's been since they wept before God. Then they withdraw from giving. Maybe it's bit by bit, but there's definitely a change in their pattern of tithing and offering. And then they withdraw from ministry. They need a break. And they haven't been praying. They haven't been getting the blessings of the Spirit of God. They haven't been receiving the Word of God, and so they're just running on empty. And because they're burned out, they separate themselves from what they were doing in the kingdom. And before long, they withdraw from fellowship altogether. They don't hang around after church and services and visit, and they don't attend their Connect group events, men's outings, or ladies' coffees, or whatever it was, and youth service, and special events and revivals. And if you're a young person, I want to tell you, and I understand we work and different things, but if you need to try to make it a priority to be here for our youth services. It's every other week, or first and third, I think, right? Try to make it a priority. Try to reschedule your work schedule where you could be there for those youth services. And then these Connect events that we're having for men's or ladies' groups, try to make a point to be a part of that, because you need to be connected. You need to be connected. And when we have revival services, I've seen it happen several times, it seems like, this last year. And I understand people work, and there's lots of stuff going on, but when we have those revival services, if you can, try to make a point to be there. Because here's what I see happening is we'll have two or three special services, and God will move and work, and there'll be an evangelist that comes and is anointed and preaches, and there's things that break in the Spirit, and there's things that there's just progress that's being made, and it's like the train starts moving. But people who weren't there, they get left behind. And then they can't even think on the same level as those that were on the train. And so it's like they withdraw further and further, and they're separated further and further. And then you look a year later, and it's like something happened. There's a difference. There's a separation that's there. And so, when we have these special services or revivals, and it's like some are like, oh, can you believe we're having church again? That'll make three times this week, or whatever it is. And some of you remember when church used to have revival every night of the week. Does anybody remember those days? And we got up and we went to work or school or whatever it was, and we grabbed a little something to eat, and then we were excited to get back to church. And then after staying, hearing the preaching and praying in the altar and fellowshipping, we went home and did it all over again the next day. Now it's just like pulling teeth to get people try to come more than just midweek service. And they've withdrawn themselves from their connection with the church and with God and with the things of God. Now, I know there's busy schedules and you got to do what you got to do, but if you can make it, try to make it. When people withdraw themselves, when they separate themselves, that kind of branch is not producing fruit. And that kind of branch is barely surviving because it's so withdrawn from the source of life. Barren, fruitless branches will not be allowed to take up space forever in God's vineyard. He doesn't let them remain on the vine without bearing fruit, but they're cut off, not by the devil, but by God. He takes it away. He prunes it. Jesus saw a fig tree. When he got up to it, he found out it was just leaves. There weren't any figs on it. What did he do? He cursed it. They came by it again, and it was withered away. Jesus saw something beyond just the leaves on the tree. There was something in that tree that was preventing it from bearing fruit. And that is a message of warning to us, to every church, to every child of God. We've been called to bear fruit. God is inspecting the vine. He's inspecting the branches. And he wants to see, where's my fruit? And he wants to know, where's the fruit that we're producing? It's not time to withdraw from the kingdom of God. It's not time to separate ourselves from the family of God. It's not time to cut ourselves off from the presence of God. We've got to be connected to the vine if we want to be producing fruit. Sometimes people have separated themselves over time, and they think, well, I'll just go find another church to get connected to. I'll just go through the directory and I'll find any church. It doesn't matter. I can go anywhere and be connected. I can go anywhere and feel the presence of the Lord. I can go anywhere and just connect and go and produce fruit. It's not that easy. It's not just like that. Many times they'll never get connected again because the problem wasn't in the vine. The problem was in the branch. And we've got to stay connected. Now, are we going to be shouting and praising? I don't know by the time this is over with, but I felt to give us a warning. God's looking at his vine. He's looking at his branches, and he's saying, it's the end time. I've got a work to do. There's much work to do. There's much work. There's much souls in this city. There's fruit that's waiting on the church to reap the harvest. And I feel like there's a group of people here tonight that you've got this, but we just need to be reminded, I've got to be about my Father's business. I've got to get busy. I've got to be serious about this. I don't want to take another year and not produce fruit. I don't want to take another year and be withdrawn from the nourishment and the calling of God, but I'm going to get serious about it this year. Lord, lead me and direct me. Direct me to some soul, Lord, that I can teach a Bible study to. Help me to make friends with somebody that they're looking for hope, they're looking for help, and I can share with them the love of Jesus Christ. I've got to produce fruit. Everybody say with me again, fruit is not optional. We've got to be bearing fruit. And knowing this, we see three levels of bearing fruit here in our text. First of all, we see some fruit. Some fruit. If the branch isn't producing fruit, it's cut off and thrown into the fire. But oh, thank God for those branches that are producing some fruit. Some more than others, but there's some success there. There's some growth. There's some progress being made. It might seem like we're constantly in a battle, but when we look back over the last year, I pray that we can see some kind of increase. Amen? Some kind of improvement. There's some good there that's being produced. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. It says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. It had been 3 years. And this man comes and looks at the fig tree in his vineyard, and he's coming looking for figs. Anybody ever planted a fruit tree, some type of fruit tree? Did you just forget about it, or did you go out there when it was season and you were looking for plums, or you were looking for oranges, or you're looking for some kind of fruit, some kind of apples or something? So he looked for 3 years, and he got fed up, and he said, okay, enough. Cut this thing down. It's wasting the ground. But the dresser of the vineyard said, hang on just a second. Give me one more year. I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to figure out something going on in the root system. I'm going to get some fertilizer. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to work with this. Just give me one more year. I know it's been 3 years. This tree should have produced fruit, but give me one more year. I'm going to work with it, and let's see what happens. Maybe it's been 3 years or longer. And in our life, maybe there's not the fruit that we know we should have been producing. I want to tell you, there's a God that's merciful. There's a God that's gracious. Hallelujah. Oh, God, give me another year. Let me have one more year, Lord. Let me have another year. It seems like I preach this every year about this time. Some of you, it's been a few years. You need to get with it. You need to get serious. God has a calling on your life. God has a ministry that he has anointed you for. God has people he's put you in contact with, and you've not taught a Bible study yet. You've not invited him to the house of the Lord. It's time. This is the year. This is the year for revival. This is the year for a harvest. This is the year for growth. God, give me one more year. Give me another year. Let me make another start, Lord. I'm going to pray more than I prayed before. I'm going to read my Bible, Lord. I want to produce some fruit. I want there to be fruit that remains. Some fruit. That's the first level of bearing fruit. There's some fruit. We've got to be producing something. There's got to at least be some fruit. And then the second level is more fruit. Anybody like the sound of that? More fruit. John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. It's not God's will that we just produce some fruit. It's God's will that we bring forth more fruit. Now, has anybody ever seen those orange trees in Florida? Bobby, do you know what I'm talking about? They have orchards and just hundreds and thousands of orange trees. And has anybody ever had an orange tree in your yard? Anybody? Yes? Anybody else? Okay. There's a couple that know a little bit about orange trees, and what they tell me, I've never raised them myself, but what they tell me is that when they're planting all of these young orange trees in the orchard, it's not very long until they will start producing oranges. However, the root system and the foundation for that tree is not ready to really produce them on the level that tree is being grown for. So what they will do is that young tree, it may just be a few years old actually, will start trying to produce oranges, but what they would do, they will prune it, drastically prune it and cut it back to where almost you'd be like, why are you trying to kill this tree? They're not trying to kill it, they're trying to prepare it to produce more fruit. More fruit. And that pruning process is actually, it's a little drastic, but it's got to sink a root system. It's got to develop a foundation, and it's got to get the nourishment ready so that it can produce even more fruit. We thought that the pruning in our life was meant to destroy us. We thought that the hardships we went through were to take us out. And it could have been that the enemy meant it for evil. It could have been that the enemy thought, I'm going to get them now. I finally got them where I want them, and I'm about to deal the killing blow, and I'm going to take them out. I'm going to destroy them so that they can never be anything for the kingdom of God. But God, in his wisdom and perfection, he sees the trial. He sees the circumstance. He sees the hardship that comes, and he says, you know what? I'm going to use this to help them produce more fruit. More fruit. And so we go through a season of struggle. We go through a trial. We go through a time of darkness. And oh, it's not fun. Trust me, I don't think if I had a sign-up sheet that said, hey, who wants to go through a trial? None of us would sign that. Oh, but Elder Long, I could tell you, my best preaching has always been after a season of trials. The best miracles that I've ever experienced have been when I've gone through some times of heartache and struggle and problems and dealing with issues. But when you come through that, there's a foundation, because you had to sink some roots. You had to get a root system that was going to hold you through the storm. You had to get a foundation that was going to be sure through that trial. And we thought the struggle was meant to take us out. No, it's not for our destruction, but it's to get us to where we can produce more fruit. It's a pruning process. Thank God he's not willing to let us just stay where we're at and be what we've always been. But God's saying, I've got more. I've got more for you. Hey, church, 2025, I believe the message is there's more fruit. There's more fruit. There's more that God has called you to do. There's more that is before you than is behind you. There's more ahead. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to go through this year stagnant, not producing fruit, but I want to see more fruit this year. Hallelujah. No matter how long we've been in the church, there's a potential inside of us for more. If we're still here, we have a purpose. Let's get serious about this thing. There's some fruit. Then there's more fruit, and then there's much fruit. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Theme of the last week and a half or so has been on prayer, the Spirit of God, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If you've missed some of the services over the last week and a half or so, I would definitely ask you to go to our website, thexpchurch.com, thexpchurch.com. And listen to a couple of those services, because God's getting us ready for something. God's getting us ready for something. There's something that's happening. God's preparing some things, and I don't know exactly what all's ahead of us, but I know God's getting us ready for some things, and there's a message here that if we could get this year, if we can get this. And in fasting and in prayer and seeking the Spirit of God like never before, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. How many of us were trying to produce it on our own? We're trying to make it happen with our own strength, with our own wisdom, with our own talent or ability. I want to tell you, this music team, Brother Sean, Sister McKella, all the musicians, all the singers, incredibly talented. Y'all are incredibly talented. And I'm thankful for that. I think it's awesome that we've got such wonderful, wonderful musicians and singers. But talent will only get us so far. Talent will only do so much. Sometimes in a pinch, it kind of gets us through, and God has mercy on us, okay? But to see the Spirit fall and lives be changed, people that come in here, they've never been in a Pentecostal church before, and it's a little overwhelming for them, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God starts moving through that time of worship, and all of a sudden there's some walls that start coming down, and there's some things, some addictions that start falling, and there's the Spirit of God reaches for them. That's not something we can do through talent. That's not something we can do through ability. It's got to be the Spirit of God. We've got to learn how to usher in the presence of Almighty God to where He fills the house and His glory fills the room. And He's the one that can reach way down deep inside of hearts and make a difference where we don't even know what the issue is. But God's Spirit searches the depths of the heart, and He knows us and what is there. Come on, we can't do this by ourselves. But if we can get into the Spirit, if we can get into the Holy Ghost, and we can learn to walk in the Spirit, there's some things that God wants to do. I can't tell you how many times I've been preaching or been praying for somebody in the altar service, and I know perhaps what the need is in their life, and I want to see it happen so bad. It's like I pray for them, and it's like I feel all of my strength trying to make it happen. Doesn't. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. On the other hand, there's been some services where maybe I didn't have the best of sermons all prepared, but all of a sudden the Lord started working and started moving, and things started happening. People started responding to the Spirit of God, and there was things, supernatural things that happened, not because we had it all together, but because the Lord, we got in the Spirit of God, and His Spirit moved. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. I believe God wants to take us beyond some fruit, beyond more fruit, to a place where there's much fruit. Much fruit. But we've got to learn, it's not our ability, it's not our talent, it's not our strength and power, but it's a place where we say, Lord, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray until something happens, until there's a break in the Spirit, until something shakes loose, until there's some demons run out, and there's something, Lord, that transforms. I've got to see much fruit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Hallelujah. Fruit that remains. Spiritual fruit. What is that? Fruit of the Spirit? That's certainly part of it. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, Pastor, what if I'm producing bad fruit? Does that count? We need to be producing good fruit. That's what the Lord's talking about. If we're producing the works of the flesh, you might need to take a three-day fast for each one of those things you're struggling with. Say, okay, I'm putting hatred on the altar this week. I'm putting envy on the altar this week. And then just go down the list, whatever you need, and fast a week for those things. What about souls? Making disciples. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The New King James Version says it a little more in today's English. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's what we're called to. What's the difference in disciple making and soul winning? There's a difference. Disciple making takes time. It's kind of like having a travel agent versus a tour guide. The travel agent will say, okay, I'm going to help you get your tickets. I'm going to help you make your reservations, and then I'll tell you where to go. Have a good trip. That's a travel agent. The tour guide says, come on, let's do this together. That's what disciple making is about. It's about checking up on a brother and saying, hey, how you doing? I love you. Praying for you. It's about teaching Bible studies. So, hey, let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Word of God together. Let's learn together about this. Every one of us is called to be a disciple maker. Oh, Pastor, I don't like people. Obviously, I had to pray through about that, okay? I would prefer to just be in a room somewhere reading a book and chilling, okay? But God's called us for others. So, Lord, maybe we pray, Lord, help me to have a heart for others. Help me to not be so selfish and so self-centered. And I'm not saying if you're shy that you're self-centered. I'm just saying, but Lord, help me look outward that I can find someone disciple maker with. Three levels of bearing fruit. Some fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Now here's what I had this prepared, and then I felt that the Lord spoke this to me. The enemy might be telling some of you that you've already been cut off, that you've messed up, you didn't produce fruit, cut your branch off and threw it in the fire. You're already done. That God has given up on you. I've come to tell somebody here tonight there's still hope. Paul wrote about how there were those branches that were broken off so that we could be grafted in. He was talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, okay? But read this with me. Romans chapter 11, verse 22, Romans 11:22, and I added this later. You may not have got that message, but it says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. If God could do it for them, if God could do it for them, God can do it for you. So maybe, yes, we made some mistakes. Maybe, yes, we didn't answer the call of God in our life. Maybe, yes, there was some pruning that happened and we felt like we were on one of those branches that got pruned because, well, we weren't producing fruit. But it's not over. It's not over. If you have a heart that says, God, forgive me. Maybe it's been 3 years, Lord. Give me another year. Let me make another start. I pray that you would graft me back in so that I can start producing fruit. I believe the Lord will have mercy on us here today, and God will let the nourishment from that vine start flowing again, and before long there's going to be some leaves coming back to life. That branch is going to be sprouting some new growth, and before long there's going to be fruit. There's going to be fruit. Oh, come on. Is there somebody you'd make your way to the altar tonight and say, this year is going to be the year of some fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. God, I pray that you would do it in my life. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to answer your calling, Lord. I believe you've got something greater for me this year. I believe you're taking me to another level this year, Lord. I pray that you would help me. God, if I've withdrawn myself, Lord, if I pulled away from the things of God, I pray that you'd help me to get back to the place I need to be, Lord, so that I can be producing fruit, so that this year can be the best year I've ever had in the kingdom, Lord. I pray that you would make a way, oh God, Lord, get a hold of me here tonight, Lord. Whatever it takes, I've got to produce fruit. Whatever it takes, I've got to answer that call. You got to do to me, Lord. I pray you just don't give up on me, God, but give me a fresh start, Lord. Give me a fresh start, Lord, so that I can produce fruit.